so people get to know you far and wide, the interviews that are on your website there. So that's great. Questions are very important. Questions have a powerful effect because questions can reveal what's going on in someone's mind, but questions can also invite people into the conversation and feel as if they've got some ownership of the direction of the discussion or the relationship. A GP was trying to help his patient who was suffering with insomnia, and he asked her, "Do you wake up grumpy in the morning?" And she said, "No. I leave him to sleep in for 10 more minutes and then I take him a cup of tea." Now, we would never have known who grumpy was had the question not been asked. And I sometimes think that the GP asks us, what seems to be the problem? For more than one reason. Because often it's to listen to how we pitch the answer, to get an insight into our thinking and understand where we're coming from, and to observe us while we're answering the question. My GP even asks me, "What do you think the cause of the problem is?" He could have saved himself 4 years at medical school, but no, I thank God for GPs. So, as the first slide says, Christ uses questions, and I want to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and reading from verse 21. So Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." I just want to look into this experience, try and explore the understanding of what's going on. Because this was a heartbreaking situation for any parent to go through. Now, Christ and three of his disciples had been to the Mount of Transfiguration. They'd been up in the glory. The disciples had seen Jesus transformed. And then on their way down the mountain, they saw a commotion going on. A crowd of people. And as Jesus got closer to the crowd, he could see his disciples were in the middle of this commotion. And then discovered that this father we've just read about had brought his son for healing. He'd obviously heard the stories about Jesus and the mighty miracles that had been going on. And he believed that something could change for his son that day. You know, that is a massive step to take when you've got used to a situation in your family. It's almost easier to believe that it's always going to be like this. That nothing is going to change. So I give great credit to this man who brought his son along to be healed. But then after the disciples had attempted to minister and been unsuccessful, the father was disappointed, deflated. His faith sank to his boots. You can see by the way that he approaches Jesus that he's not so strong now in his belief. He's walked away from this prayer situation with his boy still unhealed. And so if Jesus is going to redeem this situation, he is going to have to engage afresh with this father. And this is exactly what we've got here. Because Jesus begins by asking the father a question. He doesn't simply roll up his sleeves and say, let's get stuck in. Because he needs the faith of the father to engage in this situation again. And realizing that he's already experienced discouragement, Jesus has to engage him afresh. So he says to him, how long has this been happening to him? Now, I've been taking time to study in the Gospels the times that Jesus asks questions. And when you think about the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus turned to his disciple and said, where will we buy enough bread for all these people? But the scripture goes on to say that he already knew how this situation was going to be dealt with. But he wanted his disciple to engage in the conversation. And he said, we don't have enough money to buy this amount of bread. But there's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was necessary to engage someone else's faith. Now, my belief is that Jesus knew. As it says in John 5, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he is doing. So every situation that Jesus engaged in, he had the all-knowledge of Almighty God. So when he engaged this father, as the Son of God, Jesus had known how long this boy had been suffering. But he wanted the father to start to talk to him again and to get his heart involved in this healing. And so the father relates how often the boy's been thrown into fire and into water to destroy him. And then says, if you have any compassion, please help us. Jesus goes on to say, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And that's where the father makes this impassioned prayer. Jesus has got the man to the right place where a miracle can take place. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We're aware of where our faith is threadbare. But God's grace is sufficient for our need. And he's looking for that will, that desire. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't think Jesus actually said to anyone in the Gospels. Now, what seems to be the problem? It's a very kind thing to say. And at one time I was counting how many times this was said to me. I had a spider bite on my finger. And going through A&E and the GP and so forth, how many times people said to me, now, what seems to be the problem? But I don't see Jesus ever saying what seems to be the problem. He does say, what would you have me do for you? And sometimes it seems to be stating the obvious, like blind Bartimaeus comes to Jesus and Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? He's a blind man, makes his living begging. But Jesus wanted to hear the man's faith. I want to receive my sight. And on that, Jesus could work by your faith. You have been healed. So, we find in Hebrews chapter 12, it says about Jesus that he's the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus is at work in our human hearts, trying to build faith in us to believe him, to work wonders in our lives. And Jesus brought this man to the position where a wonder could be worked. Could we move on to the second, I've just realized I can do this possibly. Yes. Thank you. The heart of the question. Is Jesus building faith in your heart for something, possibly something you've been discouraged about, like that man we read in the scriptures about? Perhaps you've been disappointed at some time you've come to God in prayer and not seen the result you were hoping for. Jesus is constructing, building faith into our lives. Often it's through questions. Perhaps questions that we ask of God. Why have you allowed this? Why is this happening? Where were you? Has anybody ever said that? When this happened in my life. God isn't offended by our questions. In fact, it does begin to engage us with the Almighty. I went up once to my room to give God a telling off, because I was convinced that he'd slipped up and not kept his promise to me. So in a business-like way, I made my appointment and I went up and I began to put God straight. And before I'd got about 30 seconds into it, I started laughing, because I realized the goodness of God was all over my life. I had nothing to complain about and everything to praise him for. Isn't that so? Isn't God good in our lives today? We could praise him forevermore. And so that telling off never happened. I got blessed at the feet of Jesus that day. So don't be afraid to ask him questions and even question the way he works in your life. But he wants to bring us to that point of belief where he can construct faith in him, in our hearts. This book can help anyone. In this book is the essence of life. And the words in this book are living words. If you put your finger on a word from God, in faith, the life that's in that word can flow up your arm and into your heart. It's a living word. We find that even this week, people who know nothing about church, about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, when they hear the invitation that Jesus has a new life for you, if you want to become a new creature, if you want to change the way your life is going, you can ask him to come into your life, a friend on the inside of your life, and he promises to come in. Written guarantee, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, to those who receive him, to them he gives power to become sons of God. Receive him. That is the simple invitation that our God makes to us. A readiness to ask him into our lives. And then he can start to build faith in our hearts. Faith in him, faith in his word, and believe him and ask him to do things in our lives that we need to be done. Do you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does anybody believe that? Amen. I'm in good company. He has not changed. He does the same things today as he did yesterday, and he is still building faith in human hearts. But I'm quite sure that we need to be in good company. Company of others who study the Bible, study the Word of God, but in a way that they believe what it says and trust God to do what he's promised. That's why I say this book can help anyone. It is the essence of life. I used to work as a prison chaplain in Kilmarnock Prison. And I remember saying to one group of prisoners in the Bible study, Do you know what Bible means? And so they looked at each other around the table and said, no, what does it mean? I said, well, it means basic instruction before leaving Earth. And almost as soon as I said that, I wished I hadn't. Because as I did my walks around the prison, I heard different prisoners saying, do you know what Bible means? So this was going round now. They'd got a new meaning. But the essence of it is true. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. And we need to have grasped these basic instructions. We can live for 70, 80, 90 years. But if we haven't grasped the basics, that we need Jesus in our heart in order to enter heaven. There is no other way. There was a tightrope walker called Blondini. And he was the first man to walk a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. I think it was a 300-foot drop and a long way across this rope, and the rope disappeared into the mist that's over the Niagara. And Blondini had a crowd watching him. He got his balancing pole, and so he started to go over, disappeared in the mist, and they didn't know whether he was going to come back. But they carried on watching, and eventually he returned through the mist. Got back safely on the bank, and then he said to the crowd, how many of you believe that I can walk this tightrope? And the hands went up. He said, right. He said, the next time I go over, I'm taking a wheelbarrow, and I want a volunteer in the wheelbarrow. The hands went down so fast. But then, one little hand went up in the crowd, and that was his son. And his son came out, got in the wheelbarrow, and Blondini took him over and brought him back safely. After that, his manager went over on his back, and there were all sorts of things going on. But we all have to cross over from this life into the next. And I would not risk going without Jesus. I would not be found dead without Jesus. The only way to cross safely is with someone who's already crossed over and returned. And Jesus asks us in this life to receive him into our hearts as our Saviour and our Lord. And he promises, in my Father's house are many mansions. Trust in God, trust also in me. Put your trust in Jesus. Invite Christ into your heart, and he will take you safely to those many mansions that is promised. The heart of the question, just blown this up. Is Jesus building faith in your heart for something that you need him to do? We see in Genesis that God says to Adam after he fell, Adam, where are you? Now, I don't think this was a geographical question. I think God knew well where Adam was in the garden. But he was asking him a question. For his personal reply and take on the situation, where are you? Where are you with God? Where is your relationship with Almighty God today? Does God feel distant to you? If he does, he hasn't moved. His love is steadfast and unchanging. If you feel a long way away from God, he is still open to receive you into his love. We can be traveling north for 1,000 miles, but as soon as we turn around, we're going south. So you need to turn around today and step back into the warmth of God's love. It is that simple. He will never leave us or forsake us. Where are you? Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And we know Peter's reply, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." "But who do you say Jesus is?" That used to be the verse in the church I first went to when I got converted to Christ. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus is Lord. Jesus is your God who you worship. Jesus is your Saviour who will get you safely into heaven. Is Jesus someone you relate to moment by moment, day by day? Is Jesus someone that you depend on to perform signs and wonders in your life and in the people you meet? We agreed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed. He's the same Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Is that the Jesus you want to know in Stranraer? The Jesus who will empower your prayers when you pray for the sick, when you share your testimony and your faith with unconverted people? Who do you say I am? A very powerful question to answer. And Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe?" I heard a Christian speaker say recently that signs and wonders follow those who believe. That's what it says in Mark. And often we want to see those signs and wonders again, just like the Gospels. But when I thought about that statement, signs and wonders follow those who believe, it depends on what you believe. Some people have never seen the power of God at work. But he's not changed. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus can still perform these signs and wonders on the earth today? He's not changed. He's looking for that faith, amen, in our hearts. He's looking for that faith that he can build on so that we will reach out and grasp him by faith. And call on the power of his name to heal the sick and set the captive free. The same Jesus. Oh, it's exciting. It's an exciting family we've been born into. The forever family of God. I want to close with this. Jesus made another question to the man at the pool. He said, "Do you want to be made well?" He'd been lame, crippled for 38 years. What a question to ask. Do you want to be made well? And the man explained why he hadn't been healed already. But Jesus had begun to engage him in the conversation, asked him a question, listen to his answer. Do you want to be made well? Jesus still makes people well. Not always in the way we expect, but we know that no one is the same after coming under prayer in the power of the name of Jesus. No one is left unchanged. Christ's questions for us. How do you answer those questions? If Jesus is asking you today, where are you? Where are you with him? Don't stay out in the cold. Don't be a stranger. Come into the warmth of his love today, like the prodigal son. Who do you say that I am? Is he the risen Son of God with all power and all authority in heaven and on earth? Is that who he is? That's who he can be in our lives and in our town. Do you believe him? For all that he did in his gospel ministry to be done here in our lives, in our church, in our town. Do you believe him for these things? He's not changed. He's the same. And you know, he is wonderful. He is worthy of all praise. He is a great Jesus. He performs all these mighty wonders for you and for me. And he waits and he works in our lives to build our faith so that we will take hold of him. And you know, the Holy Spirit, when he finds us taking hold of the promises, taking hold of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We find a fresh power coming into our lives to be that Christian worker, to be that disciple that Jesus called us to be. All he simply needs is for us to take hold of him and experience this fresh supply of the Spirit of Christ. I mean, we're talking resurrection today, but it's not Easter. Although it's Easter every day, we're risen together with Christ. And we share that risenness. And God has left us here on earth to make a difference with the people he leads us to. But Jesus is the same. And he's worthy of all of our praise. And he's a mighty God. He cares for people. And he still asks questions. Let's think about that as we go into this week. And just consider, are there questions that we could ask people we rub shoulders with? Because, you know, sometimes that's the closest people get to heaven, is when they rub shoulders with you. It's a frightening thought. Unless they receive Christ, they go to a lost eternity, and you might be the closest they get. Let's think about the questions God might prompt us to ask to lead a soul to Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is interested in who we are, what we think, loves our personalities, enjoys our uniqueness. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as you move up and down the rows here today, that you will build faith in willing hearts, and that you will be manifest in our mortal flesh, and you will perform those wonders that we need you to, Lord, that we're reaching out to you for this morning, where we need healing, where we need peace, where we need freedom. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of all these things. And we ask you, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, to work a ministry of love into our lives today, we pray. And if there is anyone here this morning who's not asked Jesus to come into their hearts, I would like you not to leave the building until you've spoken to someone, because it's so important that your name is written in the book of life today. It's a legal transaction where your name is recorded as you ask Christ into your heart. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing.